on your body. And you say, well, what's the Y Project? The Y Project is this addition that we're building for children. It's for our youth ministry and children's ministry. And we have a passion to love kids. We have a passion to teach them how to have a great life, who their creator is, the kind of choices that they can make to avoid a lot of the pain and a lot of the suffering you and I went through by making bad choices. And we just really have a passion to teach the kids we currently have and about 200, 300 more, right? So help us out with the Y Project. We need about $90,000 more, and we'll finish that up. We've hired a guy to come do the sheetrock. That'll be happening here in a few weeks. And it is progressing, and thank you for your giving for that. One of these days, those kids are going right out the side door. That's going to be so fun, that first day they get to do that. Amen. Passion Sunday. So thanks for coming to the Life Center today. Hopefully you're inviting people. And this is a great week to invite them. Do not forget to invite people to come to Good Friday and Easter Sunday with us. And we have good things planned for them. You know that God loves your neighbors, your family, your friends, your enemies. He loves them. And we need to love them too and invite them to come meet Jesus and celebrate Easter with us. So make sure you do that. Today's message is crazy about you. Do you know that God is crazy about you? Some of you know God's crazy. God's a little crazy. If you've read the Bible, you got to go, God's a little crazy. I don't know how you define your cray-cray, but you know the way I define that is there's times that God does things I would never do. And he goes to places I would never go. He says things I would never say. And he makes promises that I could never make. But God's crazy about you. We're going to look in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 4. Therefore, we also, since we were surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, this is the key part, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You've not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. Jesus did experience a lot of suffering and pain and bloodshed, striving against sin. And why did he do that? He did it because he loves you and he's crazy about you. When those verses say, for the joy that was set before him, you and I are that joy. You and I are the prize of his love. The Amplified Bible says, he did this to attain the prize. You like prizes. I like prizes. I like working hard, doing the thing, and getting the reward, getting the prize at the end. I love being a grand prize winner. I've never been a grand prize winner, but I think that would be cool. You know, if Publisher's House Clearing Sweepstakes would come, you know, and say, you're the grand prize winner. That would be really awesome. There's some things I've worked hard for. You know, at the county fair, I had some baseballs, and I threw them at milk jugs and tried to win the prize. And I've done things to win prizes before. But Jesus Christ came to the planet, died on a cross, and you're the prize that he won. You are. For the joy that was set before him, what is that joy? The joy is seeing you saved. The joy is seeing you healed. The joy is seeing you included, you restored. That's the joy that was set before him. He endured it. He did everything he needed to do because he loves you, and he's just so crazy about you. Jesus came to earth, and he lived his life for us. He demonstrated God's love. Before this, we really didn't know how much does God love us. We really didn't know how much does he love us. He loves us this much, you know. He stretched out his arms and they nailed him to a cross. And he says, I love you this much. He proved to us how much he loves us. Jesus came and he just loved people, didn't he? He fed people, he healed people, he encouraged people, he said great things to people, he set people free, he just loved people. He did that all the time, because that's who God is, and that's what God wants for us. Jesus demonstrated the will of God. You say, well, what does God want from me? He just wants you to love others also. He wants you to be healed. He wants you to be free. He wants you to get rid of guilt and get rid of negativity and live a life that's free, that's full of hope and full of good things. Next Sunday, we're talking about living it up. We're talking about the Jesus kind of life and the kind of life that God wants to give us. That's the will of God. That's what he wants for you. So Jesus died on the cross and he suffered and he resurrected 3 days later from the grave because he loves you. Because he's crazy about you. That's the message of Easter. That's the message of Jesus. That's the message of Christianity. That's the message of your Creator. We're focusing on it this time of year especially, but that has to be the message every week, every day of the year. God loves you. God's crazy about you. God wants to set you free. God wants to heal your pain. God's crazy about you. That has to be our message over and over and over and over. Many call this Passion Week because of everything Jesus suffered, the Passion of the Christ. Anybody see that movie? That was a pretty awesome movie. And it really demonstrated the graphicness of the suffering of our God, our Savior Jesus, for us. And that's the Passion. But the Passion Week involves the pain and the agony that he was willing to endure. But when I think about Passion Week, I think about God is passionate about you, and he's passionate about me, and that's why he endured the suffering. Just like we read in Hebrews 12. That's why he endured the cross. It was shameful. Can you imagine the Son of God, the Creator of the world, subjecting himself to being tortured and mocked and killed? The Creator of the world. Why? You and I go, he's crazy. He's crazy. If you had all that power, you probably wouldn't do that. I probably would not do that. That's crazy. I'd just start over, wipe him out, start over. If I had to do that 20 million times, who cares? I'm not going to die on a cross. But God is so crazy about you that he said, no, I am totally willing to die on that cross because I'm passionately in love with these people. The reason he was willing to be rejected, the reason he was willing to be lied about, have you ever been lied about? Have you ever been rejected? God was willing to subject himself to that. You know, people are still rejecting him and still lying about him. But then they did it face to face, in person. But they're still doing it. The reason he was willing to be killed is because he's crazy about us. God is not angry with you. He's crazy in love with you. A lot of times people think God's angry. He's not really angry. Does he get angry? Yeah? Do you? Just point at somebody that you know gets angry. You should point at everybody in the building. We all get angry. God does get angry, but he is not angry. That's not who he is. In fact, God is what? God is love. There you go. 1 John chapter 4. God is love. In some people's mind, they think God is anger. God is wrath. God is impossible to please. God is always upset. But he's not. He's crazy in love with you. crazy in love with you. He is not cold or disinterested either. Some people think he's either angry and mad, or he's just cold and disinterested. He's not that. He's not giving you the silent treatment. He's not giving you the cold shoulder. He loves you. He loves you. Yeah, but what about this and what about that? It doesn't matter. Remember the story of the prodigal son? That dude did the worst of the worst, and yet his father came running to him and said, "My son who was dead is alive again." And he said, "Put the robe back on him. Give him all the authority. Give him the ring again. Kill the fatted calf. Let's have a party. My son is home." And you know what the Bible tells us? Every time you and I repent and come to God and give our life to Him, the angels are celebrating in heaven. They're having a big old party. God's not up there going, "It's about dang time." He's not doing that. He's not doing that. God's not up there going, "Wow, I didn't think it would take that much to finally get them to come to me." He's not tapping his foot impatiently, wondering if we're going to or not. He is making plans for the party because we're coming home. And he loves that. He's crazy about you. He's really super crazy about you. I don't know if you guys are going to walk out of here going, "God's crazy about me," because Pastor Kelly said it like a million times in the sermon. I've heard repetition is the key to learning. Did you guys know that repetition is the key to learning? I'm not sure if you know it or not, but repetition is the key to learning. God's crazy about you. There's some crazy things about God. You know that God is omniscient, which means he's all-knowing. Wouldn't that be a great superpower to have? Omniscient man, that would be me. Omniscient man. If I could be all-knowing as my superpower, you know, I've wasted a lot of time chasing elk and deer. If I was omniscient, I would know where they are, and I would just walk out there and shoot them and bring them home. If I was omniscient, I've wasted so much time hunting and fishing. How about, is there a fish in that creek? Is there a fish in that river? And you just... I've lost so many rooster tails and so many spoons, you know, and I've lost so much rigging trying to catch a fish. If I was all-knowing, I wouldn't have made all those mistakes hunting. I wouldn't have stepped on that twig that spooked him off. I wouldn't have went upwind instead of downwind, you know. If I was omniscient, I would be a great hunter. I'd be a great fisherman. If I was omniscient, I would be wealthy. I've made so many financial mistakes. If I was omniscient, I would have invested in Microsoft in the 80s and Walmart in the 70s. If I was omniscient, if I had the superpower of knowing everything, I wouldn't have had those car wrecks that I had. I wouldn't have said those stupid things that got me in trouble with Kari. If I was omniscient, I would have never made a mistake, ever, if I was all-knowing. Now here's what I want you to think about. God is all-knowing, and He created you, and He created us, and He didn't make a mistake. He knew who you would be. He knew what you would do. He knew what you would think. And He's crazy in love with you. Anyway, is that crazy or what? If I would have known, I would have never had all them kids. If I would have known then what I know now, I wouldn't have married that jerk. You know, if I would have known then what I know now, we think of all these mistakes we would have avoided and all the pain we would have avoided. But think about God is all-knowing. In Revelation 13:8, it says, "Jesus Christ was slain or killed from the foundation of the world." Before God created planet Earth, before He said, "Let there be light," Before he created us, he knew we would mess it up, and he knew Jesus would have to die on a cross, and he knew he would suffer the pain. He knew that, and he did it anyway. It wasn't a mistake. It wasn't an afterthought. It wasn't, oh no, what am I going to do now? God is so crazy in love with you that he knew he would have to rescue you and die for you and forgive you a million times and pull your fat out of the fire thousands of times. But he loves you anyway. That's crazy. It's crazy. He is fully committed to you. Do you know that? If you can look at the cross and not realize God's fully committed to you, you need to go get an exam. God's fully committed to you. He loves you. He's our creator. And he willingly left his position of God, became a baby, was born of a virgin, grew up in a family, demonstrated what God wants, who God is. He took on evil. He took our place. He became our target. He paid a high price to set us free. He's crazy about you. He really is. He really is. You are God's passion. You are. Well, I don't know. You are God's passion. You're the reason he created the world. You're the reason he created the universe. He loves you. He made you in his image and likeness. He loves you. You're his passion. We are the object of his love. Everything that God commands you to do and everything that he warns you to avoid is because he loves you. If you know he loves you and he commands you to do this and he warns you to not do that, you're going to go, God loves me and he has my best interest in mind and he wants me to be set free from the pain and the problems. He wants me to have the most joy and peace and hope and happiness that's possible. I'm going to do what God wants me to do. I'm going to fully commit myself to him because he's fully committed to me. And it would be awesome if we would live that way and really understand that. God does not want you to be taken advantage of. You know, the reason God hates sin is because it hurts you and it hurts me. That's the only reason. The only reason sin is because it hurts people. That's the only reason. And he loves you. And he doesn't want to see you taken advantage of. He doesn't want to see you hurt. In our pre-service prayer, Josh did a great job leading pre-service prayer this morning, and he talked about all the things that Jesus did. And he went into the temple and he cleansed the temple. The reason Jesus cleansed the temple on Passion Week is because there were a bunch of people there that were deceiving and taking advantage of their neighbors for religious purposes, and Jesus drove them out and said, "Not here. You're not going to take advantage of my people." God doesn't want you taken advantage of. Josh also talked about there's so much pain around us. Anybody say amen? Is there pain in our world? There's pain in our world. Jesus died to heal us from our pain. Jesus died to heal our broken heart. Jesus died to set the captives free. Sometimes we perpetuate pain over and over and over because we don't know how to get out of the cycle. And Jesus came to break us out. He came to set us free. You don't have to think the way you've always thought. You don't have to do what you've always done. You don't have to let things happen around you that's always happened around you. Jesus came to set you free. Jesus doesn't want us deceived, and he doesn't want us tricked into living this vain, wasted, empty life. How many of you know it'd be really easy to live a life that's full of vanity, pain, and just wastedness? I'm not talking about alcohol right now. We can put that in there too. I'm just a wasted life. God doesn't want us to waste our life. He doesn't want us to do that because he loves us. He doesn't want you to be hurt. He doesn't want you to hold grudges. He doesn't want you to get bitter. He doesn't want your past to dictate your future. Satan always tries to let you be convinced that your past determines your future. But Jesus died on the cross to say, I set you free from your past, and I will determine your future, not your past. And I like that a whole lot better, don't you? Let's let Jesus determine our future, not our past. But Satan says, oh, you did that, you've been that, and you can never, don't ever think, God's mad at you, you've already wasted your opportunities. That's baloney. It's good baloney. It's Oscar Mayer baloney, premium grade A baloney. I haven't said that in a long time, have I? But it's still baloney. You've not wasted away your opportunity to be loved, to be set free, to have a great life. You've not wasted it away. You've not. God wants you happy and full of joy. He wants you fulfilled and at peace. He wants you full of love, and he wants you loving others. Satan wants you full of pain and hating others. God wants you full of love and loving others. We have an enemy. Satan hates us. I mean, hates us. As much as God loves us, Satan hates us to the same degree. He deceives us and he wounds us and he seeks to devour us and destroy us. But Jesus came that we might have life. Satan comes to steal and kill and destroy, but Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. John 10:10. It's got to be one of our favorite verses ever, isn't it? There's days I just have to quote that verse. There's days I just have to anchor my soul in that verse. Jesus came that I would have life and have it more abundantly. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. It's another one of the verses I love. Yeah, Satan's our enemy and Satan hates us, but greater is he that lives in me than he that lives in the world. Jesus is greater than Satan. So I have an enemy, but my Savior is greater than my enemy. So I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm fine. Jesus came to deliver us and redeem us and rescue us and empower us and bless us and give us eternal life and a perfect place forever and ever. Are you guys excited about eternal life? I am so excited about eternal life. So I don't even have time to think about eternal life. I'm just trying to get through today. I feel that too. I feel that some days. But when you peek into the future a little bit, you're going, okay, Jesus, you promised to be with me here and now. You promised to heal me and help me now. But there's coming a day where I'm going to be living forever in a place where there is no pain and there is no sorrow and there are no tears. All of that's gone forever. There's no evil. There's no darkness. There's no Satan. There's no American Idol. All that stuff's gone. There's no news broadcasts. There's no political races. Hallelujah. Wouldn't that be great? Woo! Every 4 years, you don't have to go through this stuff. That sounds like heaven to me. Eternal life. It's pretty great. Eternal life is really just getting us back to where God always wanted us, with Him,
in perfection with no evil forever. Forever. Do you guys know that we're not human beings having a temporary spiritual experience? But we're spiritual beings having a temporary human experience. I don't know if you guys have ever heard that, but I've heard repetition is the key to learning. Some of you are hearing that for the first time, but I say that a lot around here. We are not human beings having a temporary spiritual experience. We are eternal. We are spiritual beings having a temporary human experience, and that should put a lot of things into perspective for us. What happens here and now is not the biggest things at all. At all. So lift your head up. God is crazy about you. You're in a good spot. You're blessed. Some of you probably walked in with your head hanging a little low today. Lift your head up. Somebody loves you. Somebody is crazy about you. The best love story ever is that God loves you, and you're right in the center of the best love story ever. You're right there. You're cared for. You're blessed. You are wanted. You are wanted. That music video that we saw, the son realized that his dad still wanted him. Even though he made the big mistake, wasted his dad's money, and kind of said, "Dad, I just wish you were dead. I wish I had my inheritance now. Get out of my way. I got things to do." And even when he did that to his dad, you got to know that eventually in the pig pen, when life is bad and all of his so-called friends are gone, he said, "There is somebody that cares for me, and there is somebody that loves me, and there is somebody that is crazy about me." And we look for people like that on the planet. Could somebody just love me? Could somebody just care for me? Could somebody just be crazy about me? I've had enough people that were crazy. Could they just be crazy about me? God is crazy about you. He really is. He really is. During Passion Week, let me just kind of walk through some events that happened on Passion Week. They get started with that triumphal entry, and Jesus is riding into Jerusalem on a untamed donkey. That should have been a picture. It should have been like the first rodeo or something, you know. But the untamed donkey willingly submitted himself to his creator and just carried him up the hill into Jerusalem. It's a climb up into Jerusalem, and carried him up the hill. And as Jesus was coming into town, the world was awakened to the fact that he is the Messiah. He's Christ. He's the Son of God. And it became a frenzy. People were shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." They were waving their palm branches. I just saw all the trees, you know, are just barren and naked after that day. I don't know. They cut down all these palm branches, and they laid it out in front of Jesus like the red carpet, and they were welcoming him to the holy city of Jerusalem. And the scribes and Pharisees were not too excited about that. And they actually said, "Jesus, shut those people up." And Jesus said this, "If I told them to be quiet, immediately the rocks and stones would cry out." Is that crazy or what? Have you ever seen a stone talk? Other than a, you know, animation, make-believe. But he said the rocks would say, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Because it was an appointed day when the world was awakened to the fact this is the Messiah. It didn't last long, which is a bummer. You know, a bunch of those folks said crucify him about 5 days later. But that day, they recognized he's the Messiah, the Son of God. I pray for that for people a lot. I hope you do. God, would you open their eyes to the fact that you are their Creator, the Messiah? Would you awaken in them that fact? We need to pray that for people. This week, be praying that for people, that people would recognize that and be awakened to that. And so that triumphal entry happened. And then Jesus came into the temple the next day, and there's a bunch of swindlers in there taking advantage of people in the name of religion, in the name of God. And Jesus made a whip. The guy that's petting the lamb in the picture, you know, the white hippie petting a lamb. Remember that picture of Jesus in the garden, the white hippie petting the lamb? That guy made a whip. And he turned their tables over and he drove them out of the temple. One guy. And they said this about him: the zeal of thine house has eaten me up. Have you ever had something eat you up? Like, I've had it up to here. Get out of my way. You know, everybody's going, oh, dad's mad. Get out of the way. The zeal of his father's house had eaten him up. He said, you're not going to be taking advantage of my people. He said, my father's house shall be called a house of prayer, and you've made it a den of thieves. And he wasn't too excited about that. But he said, you're not going to take advantage of my people. Jesus was challenged by the religious leaders of his day, and they asked him all of these questions later. He easily dealt with their arguments. Can you imagine arguing with God and thinking you're going to win? People are still doing that. Some of you are still doing that. You're not going to win. You're not going to convince God that he's wrong. You're not going to convince God to change his word. Just live what he says. Do what he says. He loves you. He's crazy about you. He's not trying to hurt you. Follow him. Later, Jesus went to the Mount of Olives, and he taught a whole bunch of things about the future. He taught about the temple. He taught about the times that aren't even here yet. Some of those things have been fulfilled. Some haven't been fulfilled. You should look at that this week and read those things that Jesus said. On Thursday of that week, Jesus washed his disciples' feet. This one really, I don't know, it impacts me. He's God. He created them. And he kneels down with a basin of water and a towel, and he washes their feet. He's God. A lot of people accuse God of being egotistical, a tyrant, bigoted. He's none of that. He's the greatest lover and the greatest servant that we know. And that day, Jesus, at the Last Supper, got out the bowl and got out the towel, and they're going, no, this is uncomfortable. Jesus, you will not wash. They finally realize this is Jesus. I mean, they had the triumphal entry. Fig tree was cursed. I mean, he drove out the money changers. He answered all the questions. He told them about the future. And now they've had the Last Supper and the communion, and Jesus is washing their feet, and they're going, no. Peter actually vocalized it, didn't he? You're not going to wash my feet. And Jesus said, well, if I don't wash your feet, you have no part with me. And Peter, you know, he's like the pendulum swinging guy, right? No, 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 no. If I don't wash your feet, you have no part in me. And then, whoop, okay, don't just wash my feet. Let's do the whole thing. Jesus is going, whoa, boy, your feet's all you need to wash, you know. Some of us have the big swings. It's okay. God loves those big swings. Peter was one of his favorite three, wasn't he? God loves that. Some of you are picking on people that have big swings. God loves that. Some of you are the people that have big swings in your emotions. You got to know that God's crazy about you. God's crazy about you. Well, if I was just normal, God would love me better. There's nothing you can do to make God love you better. If I was just a little more stable, I feel like I'm swinging here and I'm swinging there. And you're the verse that Satan quotes to you. Do you guys ever have verses that Satan quotes to you? Some of you are going, that's weird. I know, but think about it for a minute. Do you have verses that kind of are your Achilles heel, that kind of just point out a weakness that you have, and it seems like those verses are things that you think about more than the great verses of God's love and acceptance for you? So the big swingers, I'll call you guys swingers, the big swingers, they have this verse. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, and let not that man or woman think she shall receive anything from the Lord. And that's a verse, but that is not the verse of the Bible for you. That's a verse to help you stay anchored in serving God with all your heart. But that's not a verse if you're the swinger and you swing from this emotion to this emotion and back. It's okay. God loves you. Somebody needed to hear that today. Somebody needed to hear that today. God loves you, swingers. Somebody's going to quote me on Facebook. Pastor said God loves swingers. Well, he loves those kind of swingers too. He's not excited about your swinging, I'll tell you that, but he would love to clip that vine that you're swinging on. I should move on, huh? Do you know that God's crazy in love with you? Do you guys know that? Jesus loved Judas and yet was betrayed by him. Say, well, I've betrayed Jesus in the past. He loves you anyway. Jesus loved Judas. Jesus knew from the beginning of time that Judas would betray him and sell him to be crucified for 30 pieces of silver. And Jesus loved him and embraced him and included him and gave him the money bag. God's not near as nervous about stuff as you think he is. He is crazy, but he's crazy in love with you. He really is. Judas came with soldiers and betrayed Jesus with a kiss. That's crazy, isn't it? A kiss, really? Couldn't have been a high Hitler or something. Why a kiss? Because a lot of times it's this love thing that is a little bit crazy. It is a little bit crazy. Jesus went with them willingly to the cross. You know what happened that night? Peter whacked a guy's ear off. And Jesus reached down in the dirt and brushed the ear off and prayed and put it right back on this guy's head. He did that to his enemy that was coming to crucify him. You know that when Judas said, "This is Jesus," and kissed him, they said, "Are you Jesus the Christ?" And he said, "I am," and they all fell down flat on the ground. Jesus could have, at any time, pushed the eject button on that whole deal. There's an old hymn called, "He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. But he died on the cross for you and for me." That's crazy. That's crazy. Jesus was mocked and tortured, but he did it because he loves you. When Jesus died, the earth went dark. On that Friday, Some argue about what day it is. On that day that Jesus died on the cross, the earth went dark. It was midday, and the sun quit shining. And there was an earthquake so violent that rocks were broken into pieces. And in the temple, the veil that separated the Holy of Holies from the outer court was torn in two as a symbol of no longer is there a separation between God and man, but Jesus loves you and he paid the price so you could come to God. There was a lot of evidence. There's another crazy verse in the Bible that said tombs were opened and over 500 people that others knew were resurrected from the dead the day that Jesus died on the cross as a sign. That's crazy. That's crazy. God endured all of this for one reason. For you. For me. For people. For us. For the people in Kamii and Kuski and Stites and Harpster and up on the ridges and in the draws and even the Orphanomaniacs, Orphino people. He loves those folks too. Even the Bulldogs. God loves Bulldogs and Grangeville folks. And even some prairie folks, the pirate folks, you know. He endured all that for you. For you. He's crazy in love with you. Kelsey's going to come get ready to sing a song for us. God is full of compassion and grace and mercy and love and forgiveness and patience and craziness about you. Some of you need to understand his patience, his love, his mercy, his forgiveness, his compassion. How does it feel to know that before he created you, this omniscient God that knows everything, knew everything about you, and he loves you, and he died on a cross for you, and he created you? That's crazy. The all-knowing one knows everything. He knows you are worthy of his love. Some of you don't know. You are worthy of the love of God. You're worthy of somebody dying on a cross for you. You're worthy of a foreordained plan before the world was ever created. God saying, I know what it's going to cost, but I'm going to create them, and I'm going to rescue them, and I'm going to spend eternity with them forever. That's our God. That's his passion. He's crazy in love with you.
Jesus, he loves me. every day my Bible, it tells me so. Oh, it tells me so, it tells me so.
I hope you know that God is crazy about you. Have I mentioned that yet? Maybe you're not a Christian today, and all you've heard is how unlovable you are, how bad you are, how much you miss the mark. And God says, I love you. I will heal you. I will restore you. You're made in His image and His likeness. There's great stuff inside you. I want our prayer team to come today. There's a lot of them gone, but I know there's some here. Our prayer team, would you come? There's some of you that need to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. You just got to know He loves you. He loves you. Today's the day of your return. It's the day of your healing. It's the day of your restoration. Would you just come today if you really need Jesus? You need everything He's offering you. Would you just come today and let us pray for you? It might be the first time you've ever walked up front to get prayer. That's all right. Do it today. We're going to have ushers at the back door with baskets, and if you have offerings, you can just drop them off on your way out today, but we want to make sure you have an opportunity to be prayed for. So if you're not a Christian and you want Jesus, come be prayed for today. Maybe you are a Christian and you're coming and you're running to Him, and today you realize He's running right back towards you. You want somebody to pray with you about healing and peace, joy, and the goodness of God coming into your life. There's just so much pain that you need restoration, hope. God's crazy about you. He is not turning away from you. He's turning towards you. Come today and receive prayer. If you're sick in your body, Jesus took stripes upon His back so you would be healed.